Are you dying?
Yes.
Can't hear you.
Don't tell me that.
I can hear you.
Oh.
I can hear you.
Oh, good. Not good that you can't hear me. Someone, Richard's got to reboot.
Say something. If you can hear me, say something.
I can hear you. Other
I'll
people can hear me.
hear you.
I'll send a message to Richard.
Thank you. Okay. Good morning, gentlemen. The sat we had a rule in Yeshiva that when you have challenges to learning, it means it's what you're doing is very valuable, and the satan wants to prevent it from happening. So that's the, it's always when you have difficulties in getting to your learning that you have to take it that way. So let's go through this last question. Dr. Yaffe, if you have a minute or two at the end, I want to ask you again what we talked about yesterday. We're talking here about our missing aunt, our aunt amputee. And the reason it intrigued me, our Gemara wants to know if you're forbidden to eat an ant that's missing a leg. Because normally we'll whip the daylights out of you if you eat a whole creature. But if a creature is missing a leg, it's not a whole creature. But our Gemara's debate is, since it's you could still survive as an amputee, so is it still considered a whole creature? Richard is trying to get in. I guess I'll answer it. I'm just afraid to. Hello? Yes. Everybody else can hear me. It's got to be just you. They can see me. I'll check the visual on the screen, but everybody else was able to hear. So maybe reboot. I'm not sure what's going on, but I've got to get back to it. So all right, well, hopefully you'll get through. Meanwhile, I locked everybody else out. Okay. Can you hear me again? Are we better?
Yep, we can hear and see.
Oh,
Everything's
good.
good.
Okay, yeah, Richard's having trouble. Okay. Again, the Sutton's working extra hard for Richard. Can you hear me now, Richard?
Richard, can you hear me?
No, I'm
Sounds like
sorry.
he can't hear me either,
It's
man.
a localized. We're not traveling over to Washington, D.C.
Do you hear me?
I can hear
I
you.
can hear Barry and Steve.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I can.
Oh.
I'm completely online. No, it's got to be something to do with Richard.
Right. Okay. We're sorry, Richard. We're trying. So, getting back to our Gemara. So the question here is, if you eat this ant, and you have two witnesses say, "Don't eat it," or we'll whip the daylights out of you. And you say, I don't care about eating. I had a chef once that did that to me, that we insisted that we had to check everything for bugs. And we wanted to, he said, I don't have bugs in my produce. I would never eat. So I was very excited. He had this very fancy lettuce. I found a bug. I said, look, here it is. He takes the bug and he eats it. He wanted to show that it didn't bother him, which I'm sure it didn't bother him, but it bothers us, Baruch Hashem. We don't want to eat that stuff. But the question would be, what if the bug is missing a limb? That's our Gemara's question. The question that I threw out to you, which I told you comes up in frozen vegetables, that even though we know there are bugs in certain vegetables, broccoli, cauliflower, there's bug parts, there's bugs in there. But in the freezing process, we were questioning whether any of them would still be whole. Certainly they'd be amputees because they have all kinds of antennas and things that are brittle. And so if we were able to do the research and establish that when they're frozen, that they break apart, then there would be room to permit more of these frozen vegetables. That's what I was intrigued by, because that's something that's come up in my circles about whether or not in the past few years people have gone to more thorough systems for the frozen vegetables, but those systems cost a lot of money. So if you want to buy frozen vegetables with a heksher, it's 4 or 5 times the amount of regular frozen vegetables. But it's all because we're assuming that these bugs are still pretty whole when they go through the freezing process. Our question is, we don't have the research. And Dr. Yaffe was saying that he thought maybe they rupture when they freeze, if I understood you correctly. And so if that's true, then we could prove that these bugs are really not whole bugs. And then they'd be nullified. And then if the housewives really wanted to, they wouldn't have to pay 4 or 5 times as much for the frozen broccoli or whatever it is that's.
We should talk more more about that. We'll do that on another time.
I see. All right, anyway, that's why it intrigued me. But our Gemara wants to know not whether it's clear that, that certain, bugs would be not whole, but even if it's just missing. Let's just start that again. Boy, Rava, Nimlish, two lines from the bottom on 51b. Boy, Rava, Nimla Shechasro, if you have an ant that's missing, but not missing, like, fully ruptured and broken, and, it's just an amputee. It's just missing a leg. So, Shira Gaminile, Vahai Chasr, is it that in order to not be nullified, it has to be a whole being? Now, by the way, again, we don't eat half a bug, even though we're not going to whip a day out of a perfect eaten half a bug. But if it's nullified, then it would be different. It could be that's a question, whether maybe it has more to do with the nullification issue, whether it would nullify in the, if you could see it, it's really not nullified. That's perhaps the problem. But at any rate, v'hai chaser, and so would you say it's missing? Oh, beri gamirile, as long as it's a living being, it can't eat it. V'haika, and this ant is still alive, even though it's limping. I made that up, it's limping, but it's missing a part. Omarev Yehuda Mizdiskirtuta. Reb Yehuda from Distirkata, that was the name of the place, said, let's bring a proof on the top of today's page. This is the verse about eating forbidden creatures. Behen yochu bekulin. Well, it says if you eat them, so maybe you got to eat a whole handful of bugs. Tamulomar mehem, it says from them. E moihem yochu mitzasim. What if you eat half a bug? Tamulomar bahem. Haket said, ad sheyiga bemitzasim shehu kekulin. There it's talking about actually the impurity of touching these creepies. So even if you touched some of them that are like all of them, it has to be a certain minimum size. Vishiruka kamikadasha, the amount of dead creepy bugs you need would have to be a lentil size. Shukena chomet, because the one of these creatures, the snail type creature, it starts out being very small like the lentil. But anything less than a lentil would not cause tumma. Shmamina shiragamirila. You see from here that it has to be a full size. Anything less than a lentil size would not cause tumma, and therefore also would not be forbidden as a full creature. So Amr Shami Kibi in Shira Badalo Havi Kadasha. Lo Mitamile. The issue is you need this amount where if it's less than a lentil, it wouldn't cause tumma, the lo nafu be neshama. It's not considered a creature that has a life to it. But after it actually was alive, and then it got amputated, that wouldn't be the question. In other words, a creature that's so tiny that it doesn't reach that level maybe doesn't cause tumma. But we're talking about a creature that caused tumma and already lived, and it got its leg amputated, it got its antenna knocked off. So that question is not resolved. So that's the way the Gemara ends off. We don't resolve the ant question. There again, it's a question of an ant that's living, but that is missing a limb. My question was an ant that was, that when you freeze products, if the ant parts are still whole, and not is it just missing a limb, but would it not be considered a beria, a creature? That I don't know. Leave that to the poskim. Okay, Hashadr v'Hagigolus, the spine and the skull. We said they also cause tumma. If a nuzer enters a building, an old Indian building, and they have a shrunken skull sitting there on the desk, again, that was pretty common in some countries, especially amongst the Indians and other, it was like a medal to show how many warriors they scalped. They'd keep the scalps on their keychain. I don't know why they had a keychain, but they would have these little shrunken skulls. So is it what a skull and the spine, or just are they separate? Sinan. So Iboilu Shedra Gilgol Sinan Odilma O Shedra O Gilgol. Is it one? Is it both? Or is it together? That wasn't clear from the language of the Mishnah. So Amarava Toshma. Let's see what we can prove. Shedra Shigir Roy Vilin Shabbat. What happens if you have a spine and it's missing ribs? Somehow the ribs fell out. Tahora. That's not considered tumma because tumma, you need a whole dead body or the majority of the limbs intact. But if you're missing all these vertebrae, that's tar. The ubekaver, but if it's in the grave and the reason it's missing is because they've started to decompose, afilu mishoveres, even if they're broken or missing, that's tamei v'nei hakever, because since it's in the grave, time mishum de girer. It's only not tamei because they're missing. Hello, giru tam. It would be tamei even though all you have is the spinal column. So shma mina o shedr o ghost tani. From the discussion there, the issue is the spine is missing some ribs. But had the spine been whole, everybody would have agreed it causes tumah. So we see that it's you don't need the spine plus the skull. The spine alone is enough. The Gemara said, no, it's not a proof. You didn't read that right. Hai lo ketani hakamash balon. It didn't say that. Hakamash one is coming to teach you the ki gira tara. If you remove it, it's tahar. But it's still a question whether you need the skull to connect it or not. In other words, it wasn't dealing with that issue of whether the spine was connected to the skull or not in that case. We were just dealing if the spine was missing. So since we were only dealing with the missing spine, missing ribs, that won't prove, we don't know whether it was attached to a skull or not, because that wasn't the issue that Gemara was discussing. So back to the drawing board as to try to bring a concrete proof whether a spine alone would cause tumah, and we send the nazir back to the drawing board, or no, it's only a spine with a skull. Tashma, I reviewed Omar Shisha Dvar Rabbi Akiva Tamecha Mitar. There are six things that Rabbi Akiva was strict and said are pure. The Chozabo Rabbi Akiva, and later on Rabbi Akiva changed his mind. Umaisa, and there was a story. Now you got to picture this. Imagine if somebody brought a bag of bones to shul. That's what happened. They brought a bag of bones. Show and tell. I think the study halls in those days were much more colorful. We mostly only look at books, but you could bring in sign, you know, show and tell. So they brought a bunch of bones to the Beis Medrash. Shehevi kupa mole atzamos. They brought, I don't know if anybody called up the FBI or where these bones come from. They brought the bones to the Beis Medrash of the Tarsoyim, of the carpenters. I don't know why the carpenters, but maybe that was the Beis Medrash, whatever. That just happened to be the Beis Medrash that had the bones. Veniku ba'avir. And for some reason, I don't know why, they left it hanging in the air. I'm not sure why in the air. Don't put the bones on my shtender. I don't know why the bones are in the air, but I'm just reading the story. The Nictis Todos. And who are you going to ask? Well, this was a bone shilas, so ask the doctors, the Tamid Chachamim that were doctors, because they deal in bones, and they would have the best way to help us resolve this issue. So they brought in Todos Arofa, Vikol Arofi Mimo. And apparently he was like a scientific doctor who had like a whole school of students who followed with him. And they asked him, what's the deal here? Is there enough bones here for tumah? So they examined the bones and they said, "En kan shedra meisechad. You don't have a whole spine from even one, you know, you got to add the bones together and figure out this is male bone, this is female bone, these are different sizes. So therefore, he gave them the good, clean bill of health that these bones were tahar. Okay, so if a nazir who came in contact with them wouldn't have to wouldn't have to shave. All right, so so that's all. Again, there's more to the story, but we don't know the rest of the details. I don't know what the bones were doing there. I don't know why they brought in Todos. I don't know the rest of the story. Todos, by the way, I think is Theodore. Yeah, it's a Greek, but I believe he was a scholar as well, although it could be the scholars brought in the doctors to give him that kind of information. But at any rate, what does our Gemara want from this discussion? Time of the Lekashedra, de Mechada, that you didn't have one whole spine from one, but it implied, had you found a whole spine, O Shedra, or a whole skull, de Mechada, Nazir Migaleachaleha, then we would have sent the Nazirs back to the to go get a shave. Shmami, now you see from here clearly, O Shedra, O Gilgolus tonight. So from that story that they came and they said, oh, we couldn't even find the whole spine. That implied, had they found a whole spine from one person, that would have been enough. So that's the proof the Gemara wants to bring. So the Gemara says, we're not convinced. No, really, it meant not only. Lo mi boy Shedra, Gilgolus to Mesechad Lecha. Not only was there not a whole spine and a whole skull from one body, they were just saying we couldn't even find a spine. But they didn't mean that a spine alone would have done it. Really, it could be in order to cause tumah, you need a spine and a skull. I, they said they didn't find a spine. They meant we didn't even find a spine. But obviously, even if they had found a spine, they would have needed a skull. You can't prove anything from there. So, Toshma, back to the drawing board. It's the danger of quoting part of a discussion. You had to know what was important to them. It could be they were just saying, we didn't find a whole spine. But everybody would agree, a whole spine wouldn't have caused two. But they meant we didn't even find a whole spine. But obviously, you need a spine and a skull, or maybe not. So, Toshma, let's try again. Memenina, from the discussion, Mahin, Shisha, Dvorim, Sherevi Kiva, Mitami. Let's look at those things that Rebbe Kiva originally said were Tami and changed his mind. Number one, Al Eber Menemeshba Mishne Mesim. A limb from a dead body that came from two dead bodies. I guess two parts. Vala Eber Menachai Shubba Mishne Ben Adam. Or a limb from a living person that came from two living parts. Vachati Kava Tzomos. Or half a Kava bones that came from two different bodies. The commonality is that initially he felt that since it came from two different ones, it wasn't enough to cause tumah. But, and again, it's not a whole life. Tumah is that you had a source of life, and now it's dead, and so that lack of life causes tumah. But when you really had such small amounts, the question here is if you have half a life from one person and half a life from another, would that cause tumah? And again, you have to know how the tumah laws work. Let's say you have this amount of blood above Mishnayim, about two people, I had some kesora, and you have this tiny barley bone that broke in two by Shadr Vagagolis, or you have either the spine or the skull. So Isil Kadaitan, and if, as we turn the page, that it means O Shadra O Gilgolis, if it's the case of the spine or the skull, so then you'd have seven instead of six. And since it's only six, it must be the spine and the skull go together. That's the proof. So again, in the listing of the cases that Rebbe Kiva argued, if you count them up, if the spine and the skull are separate, it's seven cases. And we said there's only six. So it must be the spine and the skull go together. So let's see if the Gemara likes that proof. Obviously not. Gemara says, Ki katani koheka de polga leharabim. This question that there would be seven if they're counted separate, we have a way to answer that. And maybe really the spine and the skull are separate. It could be. You don't have a proof from there. There's seven. It could be we only counted the ones, Kolhek de Pligi or Rabin. We were counting the cases that Rebbe Kiva argued with all the rabbis. Lafuke Etzem Kesora, one of the cases of the barley, it was only a single rabbi who argued on him. Rebbe Akiva was a heavyweight. He was like, so he and a single rabbi, we would tend to agree with Rebbe Akiva. But if all the rabbis argued on him, so then we didn't follow Rebbe Akiva, we followed the majority. So it could be we were only interested in the cases where Rebbe Akiva argued with all the rabbis of his times. But where it was just him and a single rabbi, we didn't necessarily make the count. Where do you see that? Tani Etzim Kesor, Shenekel Lishnayim, Rebbe Akiva Mitar, Rebbe Yochanan Benuri Mitar. That's answer number one. We're going to give multiple answers. Gemara always, a burden of proof always has to be a slam dunk. So you almost know that in the Gemara. When you're going to see Tashma, if there's any way that it's not 100% proof, a proof is a proof. So that's answer one way in which it wouldn't be a proof is, even though it says six and not seven, maybe it only included those cases where Rebbe Akiva argued with the Rabbanan. Okay, another answer. Maybe it did. We're only talking about dead limbs. We're not talking about, even though there is a live limb, maybe that didn't make the list. That's answer number two. If you want, you could say, in other words, if you want, there are a number of ways to knock down this proof. We're talking about sending the nazir. I keep thinking like, you know, in a ballpark where you pull out a player. When are we talking about sending the nazir to get a shave? Al oalo. That's cases where if he just enters the room and there's tumah, lafuke etzim kasora, the low. In the case of the small bone where you have the size of a barley, the nazir doesn't go to the showers if he's in a building with a bone that size. He actually has to touch the bone in that case. So that didn't make the list officially because that kind of tumah is only if it's touched. Not when we said six cases where there'd be tumah soho. Eboy seima, if you have three answers aren't enough, why it's not a proof, let's bring a fourth. Eboy seima, kik tano keika de hadarbe, where he changed his mind. Lafuke riyas dam, he didn't change his mind about the blood. How do you know that? Omerle Rebbe Lebar Kapar Lo Tishner. Don't learn that in the Mishnah. But Chazorah, he didn't change his mind. Shemudish Rebbe Kiva Biyado. Rebbe Kiva knew what he was talking about. V'od Mikramisai. This particular thing, he had the proof of the goods on it. I'll call Nafshir Space Lolovo. Rav Shimon Omer. Rav Shimon said, okay. So, by the way, so that answer is another answer. Now, on this answer, you always have the peanut gallery. What did the other sages say? Sometimes the Gemara gives us the full discussion. Sometimes it doesn't. What's really intriguing is, you know, you could be a cynic and say the Gemara just wants to make the learning more interesting by telling us the comments, but that's obviously not why. But it does make it a lot more interesting. It wakes you up a little bit. So we're going to wake you up a little bit about what one of the rabbis said in the peanut gallery. Let's listen to what Rabbi Shimon said about Rabbi Kiva's six cases that he changed his mind on. Rabbi Kiva, Rav Shimon Omar, Ad Yamav Hayimitame. It's true that Rabbi Kiva argued for many, many years about those six cases, and on most of them he came around. And the debate here was about this case of the blood, whether he changed his mind. So Rav Shimon testified. He says, I can tell you that as long as Rabbi Kiva was alive, he still, that particular case did not change his mind and agree with the sages that it was tahar. E misha meis chazerbo, if after he died he changed his mind, that I can't tell you. I know people that would make a joke like that, by the way. So he said, I can't tell, you know, I can tell you as long as he was alive, he never changed his mind. If you want to tell me after, but by the way, it's very famous in halacha that after people die, people ascribe all kinds of things to them. It's the, you know, because they're not here to, you know, to correct. I will never forget. I once walked into the study hall in Telz, and they had one. They have a bulletin board where they put up signs, and they'd come up with these documents signed by all the leading heads of the yeshivas about what's good and what's bad about going on in the world. And so there was one of these documents saying something signed by all these, and included was the head of our yeshiva, who was one of the, you know, rabbinic heads of the world, Rabbi Gifter. And he walks up and he sees this thing, and he sees his signature. And he looks at us, he says, I never signed that. And he walked. And so don't believe everything you hear. So that's the, so the question here is after they died, if they changed their mind. But so Rav Shimon was a skeptic. So the Gemara just comments on that. Is that the way he said Rav Shimon actually was a disciple of Rabbi Kiva. So it says that Rav Shimon later on regretted that he said that. And he fasted that God should forgive him for being disrespectful to Rabbi Kiva. Tani, Hushku Shinov, he fasted so many times that his teeth turned dark. Bifnei Tanisov. I don't know if that's really what happened or the Gemara didn't want us to learn from what Rav Shimon said. But he didn't regret what he said, that Rabbi Kiva didn't change his mind. But then saying whether he changed his mind after he died, was that disrespectful or not? I think it just meant that sometimes people will say, even though that great person said that, how do you know he didn't change his mind? And he said, I could tell you as long as he was alive, he didn't. But whether after he died, he did. But the question is that disrespectful to the rabbi by saying after he died, did he change his mind? Well, what would you say? It's not clear because, again, the Gemara quoted it. That's the interesting thing. But at any rate, Tashma, back to the drawing board.
But they're acting as if though it's very, very realistic to change your mind after death.
I think that was a joke.
Oh, then that's why he was thinking, oh.
That's why he was, that's right, that's right.
I'm a little bit ahead. Oh, so that's what it was.
So the question, though, is, are you allowed to make a joke, or is it disrespectful? So why did he fast? So, but maybe the joke implied that Rabbi Kiva changed his mind, or...
I didn't read it that way.
We really don't know. We had to be there to really get the nuance of the statement. The bottom line, though, was the Gemara, we didn't prove from there either way. Is it a spine alone or a spine in the skull? So, Toshima. The Tani Bei Shami Omer Roiva Atzamos Min Roiva Atzamos Min Atzamim. The Roiva was this amount of bones from the bones. O Mishnayim O Mishloshev, or from two or three. Ubeis Hillel said, Roiv HaMenagviya, it's got to be from one body. May Roiv HaBinyan, either from the majority of the trunk of the majority of the width of the dead body, or may Roiv HaMinyan, or at least from most of the limbs.
May Roiv HaBinyan is of the skeleton?
Of the skeleton, yeah. Or the most number of limbs. So Omer Yeshua, Yochlein Lasos Divrei Beishami Dizhil Ka'echad. So in that discussion over there, which, again, it's difficult to spend a lot of time on, these are Mishnayos from another place, he says, in that discussion, Rabbi Yeshua said, Yochalaso Divrei Beishami Dizhil Ka'echad. I could explain them to almost be agreeing. Shebei Shamir Om Mishnayim Mishlosha. Oh, they said from two or three. Oh, Mishnei Shukim V'Yerech Ka'echad. It's got to be from the two thigh bones, shok is the thigh, and the yerek is the leg, two thighs and a leg. Mishnei yerechayim, or two thighs and one shok, hoyo v'rov gavasso shel adam. Because if you have the two thighs and the leg, that's the majority of the skeleton. In other words, when they said the majority of the bones, when a person stands up, the tallness comes from the leg and the thigh. You'd have the majority of the height if you took those two bones. Ubeisil said, no, from the whole body, Omrim. They say, Rov Binyan, Ome Rov Minyan. The majority of the bones or the majority of the size. Hoyva Yeshin Bemefarke. If you would have it in a case where the Yadayim Viraglayim, where the hands and the feet were broken apart, not necessarily
the wrist and the ankle.
There was one case was talking about where you had the big bones, and the other one you have a bunch of the smaller bones, and we're trying to know if there's enough there for tumah. Shammai Omer Afil Etzim and Ashedra, but we didn't even get to the proof part. Shammai said even from the spine or from the skull. So Shani. So what do you see? You see that it's one or the other. It's not both. So that proves, again, that was our whole question. Are we always talking about the spine together with the skull? Or could a skull separately cause tuma? And you see from Shammai that he said one or the other. So that proves our discussion. So Morris said, no, it doesn't. Shani Shammai de Machmir. Shammai is just being Machmir. Shammai was very machmir, so therefore, maybe he was machmir, but we don't know if we have to be machmir or not. It could be he was machmir that even the skull alone would cause tuma. It could be we only cause tuma to the nazir if he has both. But lishi min atami de beishami de machmir, rabbanon ad ika shedri golus lo. But maybe the rabbis weren't so machmir. Ad kan lo pigur min shammai ela beetzem echad. The asi min hashed, it's one bone that came from the spine or from the skull. Avol heikad isbeinai, but if you had the spine and skull together, even one of them would be cause tuma. So the Gemara really is leaving it on. We have to now, after the whole day of discussion, not a whole day, but a daf and a half, we don't really prove it. Our question was, a nazir who comes into a building where there's a spine and a skull would become tamei and have to start over again. The question is, if you had a spine and no skull, or a skull and no spine, and we entered into three or four discussions to prove it, and we said you can't prove conclusively from any of those discussions. But you're correct that in any of those cases, we would have to do all the Rashis and spend a little more time to get a better sense of what was going on in those discussions. Next question, because we're ready for the next question. Yeah. Okay.
So there really was seven. They're going to leave the spine and the skull together as if there were only six reasons then?
Could be. Yeah, that's one way to do it. That's a possibility.
They didn't resolve whether there was six or seven.
Well, they only counted six, but there may have been a reason why they didn't count one of the other cases. If you count the spine and skull as separate, then you have seven. But there's a reason some of the other cases, like the case of the bone the size of the barley, you didn't have roof tumo, or you had another case which somebody argued on. And so the Gemara was finding other solutions to why that particular case.
That's why that proof fell away.
That's right. Boy, Rami Bar Chama. Next question. Roiva atzamos min hashedra v'gagolus mai. What about if this amount of bones came from the spine and the skull? Are we talking about from the rest of the body? there, maybe afilu roivatzamos, would it even be tuma even from there? Odilma loshna, is there a difference from which part of the body the bones come from? Is it make a difference if the bones are the crucial bones, the thick bones? Or what about the small bones? Is there a difference or not? So, Marava Tashma, we will come and hear this. We're not going to resolve today, but we'll begin the discussion. Hashed Regagolus. It's talking about over there the spine and the skull. If we're talking about bones from those limbs, Chamor stricter, listening out, Roivat Samos Abom in a Shedrid, then it should clarify that. But we will take up this last Shaila tomorrow, Meretz Hashem. Again, most of the question we had today was whether the skull and the spine went together. Now we want to know, are we stricter on those bones? Obviously, the skull and the spine are the major part of the body, but we don't know how Tumah works. So therefore, we raise these questions. Okay, have a great day, everybody. Be well.